So just to do a little review, this is our third week of doing the letters that are in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. There are seven of them. The first week was Ephesus, which is the largest, most prosperous city in Asia Minor. It was thriving. And the church there seemed to be doing everything right, at least from the outside, and maybe to those on the inside as well. They were persistent. They were patient. They did good works. But the message to them was to return to your first love. And we talked about finding our passion again, finding our enthusiasm, being filled once again with the Holy Spirit. Then we went last week to Smyrna. Smyrna was an ancient city dating back well before the Greeks. They were dead, a dead city, and they were coming back to life. Soon they would eclipse even the great Ephesus. It was a Mecca for the worship of the emperor, though, and for everything that was Roman. They were very patriotic, very pro-emperor, and they stayed strong despite persecutions. So we asked the question, what are our difficulties? What do we need to stay strong about? And now we come to Pergamum. This represented the old Rome. Pergamum was a fortress city. It was a city that was inland, about 40 miles northwest of Smyrna. It did not have a port. It was an old-style city where you would conquer it. It was on a hill. It would be very hard to take over because it was this big fortress on top of a hill. But there was no threat to Rome within about 1,000 miles. But it was still the capital. The court system was there. Therefore, judgment was handed down to Christians here at Pergamum. Like Smyrna, it was a hard place to be a Christian. There was a large military presence there with all the gleaming armor and swords. But it was also famous for its library, one of the finest in all of Asia. It was one of the most extensive libraries in the known world. It was also the center of the worship of Asclepius, a minor god of healing. And his nickname was Savior. Savior, people called that god. But of course, Christians had another Savior. And to that we're called to hold strong. Wendy, can you advance the slide here? This is Patmos. Nice place, isn't it? This is where John is writing these letters. Now, he was sentenced there under house arrest by the Emperor Domitian about the year 95. It was like a prison sentence, but I think I might not mind it so much. But of course, he was in a cave writing letters, and that's the way it looks today. Let's forward another slide. This is the church that is in front of the shrine that where John was believed to have lived and have received these visions and the letters that he put to paper. And one more slide. But if you go inside, you find that it is actually a cave inside of it. And here it is believed that the Apostle John, or John of Patmos, wrote the book of Revelation. And in it, in this letter, from the words of Jesus, it says that Pergamum is a seat of Satan. Why? Because it's the seat of Rome. It's the Roman capital of the area. Jesus is drawing the conclusion that Rome is the Satan of its time. The first time we've heard Rome used in those terms. Ironic that this year in VBS, our title is Rome, And we're going to decorate our fellowship hall with Roman things and vines and pillars, Corinthian pillars. And we're going to wear togas. But we're talking about the underground church that Paul started in Rome and how the Christians needed to stay strong. Jesus is contrasting his double-edged sword, and I brought my my Tai Chi sword in as a prop. Jesus' double-edged sword with the sword of the military, the sword of Rome that symbolizes military might. How do we overcome evil? We take up Jesus' sword, the double-edged sword. Romans 12, 21, that great chapter that we referenced last week says these words, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? With good." That's the way we overcome strength, worldly strength. That's the way we overcome violence and oppression. We know who will win the struggle. Revelation gives us the score. We could take it to Vegas. It might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, it might not ever be in this lifetime, but the message of these letters last week and this week is clear. God promises us a victory wreath that we will wear, a crown of life, victory over death. Not the victory that you would hand out at an Olympic Games. Not the victory wreath that they put on conquering heroes when they returned. We're more than conquerors, Paul says. We will have the last laugh, but it will not be a mocking laugh at our enemies. It will be a laugh of joy. It will not be waged with a sword of violence, but with a sword that extends from the mouth of Jesus. A double-edged sword. What is the double-edged? There's truth on one side, and there's justice on the other. Truth being that Christ mediates and is the judge, is the arbiter of what is right and wrong, ultimately. Justice in that Christ has the greatest compassion out of anyone in history to dole out justice. It is Christ that is worthy to do that. That's right. The greatest justice in the world is God's, because God has the capacity of grace. God has the capacity to make things right, the power to make things right that we do not have. That's why it's Christ's responsibility to wield this sword that is both of truth and of justice. And we can help do that. Too long have we being Christianity in general, too long we have wedded ourselves to the ways of the world. And the ways of the world are, quite frankly, violent and oppressive many times. Christianity at times has a very ugly history. We have a lot of baggage, hundreds of years ago, even thousands of years ago. It's part of our legacy. We have to deal with it, unpack it. The Crusades, the Inquisition, the colonization movement of the New World. It had a lot of violence carried out with the blessing of Christian leaders to go and subjugate native populations, bring them to heel. Religious wars fought in Europe for 100 years after the time of the Reformation. It's all shameful. A black eye upon our institutions. It should cause us to go completely the other way, to abstain from anything that promotes war and that promotes violence. It's a huge historical burden. The Nicolaitans, who are these people? It's the second time that John has mentioned them. Who are they? Well, the scholars aren't exactly sure, but I did some research. And it turns out the word is actually a combination of three different words in Greek that when you put together means city of victors. City of victors. Perhaps that is what people thought of Pergamum, with all its Roman might and fortresses and shields and spears and swords. Specifically, the kind of victors and people who would dominate the people that they defeated. We don't want to be like the Nicolaitans. Rome has been eclipsed. They were growing weary because there was no more enemies in Rome, no more enemies within 1,000 miles. Carthage was defeated. Nobody could stand against the might of Rome. But love did win out. Whatever empires that we have today, in the end, will be dust upon the earth. Interesting to read about, no doubt, especially if you enjoy history. But with no power, in the end, it's the apocalypse. And I know that term has a negative connotation, but remember when we started this series that apocalypse to us, to Christians, can be good news. It means change. It means change for the better. It's good news to us today, as long as we make sure that we're on the right side of things. If not, maybe it's not such good news. Well, how do we make sure that we're on the right side of things? Well, it might be harder to determine than we think. And we might think that we're on the right side when, in actuality, we might be like the Nicolaitans, kind of sliding down a slippery slope. The people in Pergamum were offering concessions to try to get along with the rest of their community around them. But there's important things to stand out against. The enemy, Satan, whatever you call it, has made culture gray, has made culture a slippery slope. We have to discern our way forward with fear and trembling, to quote Paul once again. It's easy when we read in Revelation and there's all this war and violence and earthquakes going on to become a cheerleader and go, rah, rah, Jesus, you go. Kick Satan into the pit. But in actuality, the way to the golden streets of heaven at the end of chapters 21 and 22 is through peace, not war. It's through sacrifice, even suffering. Suffering that we learned about last week. We must resist the ways of the world. In some matters, we must draw some lines. We must be distinct. We must stand up and be strong to light our lamppost. Remember that image? Last week, we talked about drawing the lines and some things. And we determined that above all, if there's one thing that we're going to stand up for, it's not doctrine, it's not the name of our church. Even though we're celebrating United Church of Christ, and we're going to Senate, and we're going to be rah-rah United Church of Christ, above all, it should be one thing, loving. That is where the buck stops. Loving. And that might sound simple. Just love. Until you consider what kind of love that Jesus is talking about. It's not just loving who loves you. It's not just loving yourself. It's just not just loving the things that you care about. But Jesus said, even evil people do that. Even the wicked people do that. We must be extraordinary in our love, says Jesus. Love enemies, those who persecute us, those who are bullies, those who have cursed us. We must be forgiven people, forgiving people. Excuse me. Not just those who have forgiven us, not just people that ask for forgiveness even. To forgive people that are not even asking for it, not even looking for it, who don't think they did anything wrong, forgive them too, not just once, but 70 times 7. How many is that? 490, I learned last night. Somebody had it right away. 490. That's a lot of times. We're going to lose track of that. Just keep forgiving. To be generous. Not just give away what we have extra, but to give of ourselves. To go the extra mile to help people more than what they ask for, and to always help when they ask. That little line's from Jesus. Always help people who ask. It's there. Jesus said to love others as you love yourselves. Not just somewhere down the list. To become servants for each other. To seek to be last instead of first. This is how we differentiate ourselves, folks, from the rest of the world. This is how we're going to distinguish ourselves. That's how our light's going to get promoted and reflected. It's not by burying our heads in the sand and ignoring the world. It's by engaging with the world. It's by being in relationship with it. It's by working with it. It's not by cloistering ourselves away for fear of becoming corrupted by the world. We might need a break sometimes. But it's by making a stand and staying strong to the gospel in spite of the world. This is how we can make the greatest change in the hearts and minds of those around us, in our communities and in the world. And we're handing out the white beads today. And can you guys start handing out beads? Grab a handful of beads. Let's start handing them out. Just like it says in our scripture, carry them with you. Put them in your pocket today. Be reminded that when you stay faithful to love, you will be given some of this hidden manna. And this hidden manna, by the way, some of the ancient Israelites believe that Jeremiah, before they were taken away to Babylon, hid away some holy manna, and that it will be given to the saints of old. This is what's being referenced here. This special, hidden away manna that is set apart for you. You as named children of God. Don't settle for food that the world has. Take the food of God. It is better. We're having some good food today. But don't forget about the food of God. That's the first thing to remember about these beads. Feed on the manna of God. The second thing is, in the ancient world, sometimes to cast a vote, you would be given a black stone for no and a white stone for yes. Consider this God casting a yes stone to you, saying yes to you. Yes to you as individuals. This is God saying you are caring. You are considerate. You are kind. You are giving. You are compassionate. You are faithful, strong. You are forgiven. You are whole. You are loved as my child. And as it says in our scripture today, it's just for you, a name for you from God. And through it, God can make you new and whole. And finally, think of these white beads as invitations because they were also used as invitations in the ancient world. If you had a white bead, it was proof that you could get into the party. That you can get into the festival or into the feast. You are invited to participate in this new kingdom of God, to join in the feast, my friends. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate together.